I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of members.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
I'm present.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Randall has asked to be excused. Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stevenson has also asked to be excused. Mr. Burbank?
I'm here.
Ms. Chalk?
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. Hattery?
Here.
Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer? Ms. Mankasy?
Present.
Mr. Klinkelaer?
Present.
12 members present.
Petitions, communications, notices?
Communications are on the desks.
We have no special orders of the day, so we'll move to privilege of the floor for the public. Anyone here wish to speak to us? You can use that mic and just state your name and what part of the county you live in.
My name is Beverly Chin. I live in town of Lansing in Tompkins County, and I'm here from the Human Services Coalition. I was here to just present some good news before the holidays, and it has to do with Tompkins RX, the prescription discount card that the county endorsed in the end of 2004 for distribution to all the Tompkins County residents. This is a project that Martha Robertson spearheaded. I'm happy to report that the card has saved the residents of Tompkins County. It reached a $1 million mark in November, saving the residents $1,004,226. And this represents about 4 years of savings, and I have the sample of the card if anyone hasn't seen it for a while, and I have a graph chart if anyone would like to have a copy of this.
Thank you, Beverly.
Thank you.
I have a sign-up blue note from Peter Bardaglio. Is Peter here? Also speaking to the mic.
Hi, thanks very much for this opportunity. I'm Peter Bardaglio from Trumansburg, New York, and I am the chair of the Tompkins County Climate Protection Initiative, and I'm here tonight on part of this coalition to urge the legislature to support the proposed Tompkins County element for greenhouse gas and energy. The Tompkins County Climate Protection Initiative has been working together since this past June to work together on energy efficiency measures for the county, working with institutions like Cornell University, Ithaca College, Tompkins Cortland Community College, Tompkins County Chamber of Commerce, TCAD, the Ithaca Downtown Partnership. I have a letter that is signed in support of this particular proposed element that's before you this evening, with signatories from the Alternative Federal Credit Union, Cuga Medical Center, the City of Ithaca, Ithaca Car Share, Ithaca Downtown Partnership, Ithaca Tompkins Transportation Council, the Paleontological Research Institute, Museum of the Earth, Park Foundation, Performance Systems Development, Sustainable Tompkins, Sustainable Transitions, Tompkins County Chamber of Commerce, Tompkins County Planning and Public Works, part of this group as well as Martha Robertson represents the legislature on this group, the supervisor from the town of Ithaca, Herb Engman, Martha Armstrong from Tompkins County Area Development, as well as Frost Travis from Travis & Travis Ithaca Rentals, and also a statement of support for the work of TICB from from Cornell University, Ithaca College, Tompkins Cortland Community College, as well as the Cooperative Extension of Tompkins County. The latter four organizations that I just mentioned, that is Cornell, Ithaca College, TC3, and Cooperative Extension felt they couldn't sign the letter per se because they felt that then they would be actually lobbying the legislature, but they did want to include a letter of support for the work of the Tompkins County Climate Protection Initiative. So I have copies of this letters of the letter available for all of you, and I hope that you will vote in favor of this element. I think I speak for the group in saying that we believe a lot of excellent work has gone into this. Very, very thoughtful, I know, nationally in terms of the work I do with Second Nature, which is a nonprofit in Boston committed to sustainability in higher education and working with the U.S. Mayor's Council, that we have feel very strongly that the county proposed element is a national model for work in this area and deserves the support of the community as well as legislature here tonight. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Peter. We also have resolutions and letters of support in our packet if you haven't seen them. Anyone else from the public wish to speak under privilege of the floor? You've just arrived. Do you want to speak under privilege of the floor by agents? Okay. We'll move on to legislators' privilege of the floor. Carol?
I wanted to tell you about an event that I attended this past Sunday before this, that was put on by Sustainable Tompkins. Pam, if I'm stealing your thunder, Pam went on behalf of the county to accept an award. This was an award ceremony held by Sustainable Tompkins to recognize signs of sustainability for 2008 in Tompkins County. Several of our county efforts received awards, along with 83 initiatives. And it was very interesting to walk in. It was an amazing event, because it was interesting to walk into an event and to be told that there were going to be 83 awards, and to wonder how that was going to be done and perceived. And it was astounding to have the parade of efforts in front of us, briefly, concisely told and recognized, related to sustainability efforts in the county, private efforts, nonprofit efforts, profit-making efforts, public efforts, educational efforts. And to have everyone be fascinating, to have an audience that sat with attention through 83, or at least 75 of the 83 awards, and to realize the efforts. And I just wanted to recognize certain of the efforts related to either supported by the county or sponsored by the county that were recognized. Ithaca Car Share, the Finger Lakes Reuse Center, Tompkins County Climate Protection Initiatives, the Finger Lakes Environmentally Preferred Procurement Consortium, the Tompkins County Solid Waste they're receiving of the Go Green County of the Year National Award, TCAT piloting the 50-cent off-peak fare, Tompkins County Planning Department for the energy and greenhouse gas emissions element of the plan. So I hope we live up to their expectations there tonight. 211 Tompkins, Cooperative Extension Gardeners Pot Swap, the TC3 Green Collar Career Fair, the Danby Hamlet Planning Steering Committee, again, Cooperative Extension for the Environmental Issues Program Committee, and again, Cooperative Extension for Local Foods Efforts, our own tax exemption on solar energy systems, LEED building in various configurations. So, I mean, this is just a small portion from the county. Katie Borghella, Jean Lassesse, Pam accepted an award, Lynette Short, Monica Roth, and anybody that I left out, you know, thank everybody for coming and hearing and sharing all the amazing efforts from basic agriculture, diaper businesses, transportation, old and new, young and old. It's just a wealth here, and it's worth recognizing. And I can pass this around if people would like to see the list. But I'd like it back. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Others? Martha Robertson?
I want to appreciate Bev coming in to talk about Tompkins RX, and Marsha Lynch is going to do a press release in a day or two. I want to also mention that the Health Planning Council did an evaluation of the program by calling all the pharmacies in the county, and 15 pharmacies, I think it was, and to ask how they, what their experience is, how they think it's working. Since we started this, there have been a lot of new cards brought onto the market. Was there another card that we should consider instead? And the this was presented at HHS earlier this month. So it was very encouraging. The pharmacies find it extremely helpful and use it all the time, and felt that it was almost unanimously that it was really the best card. And there was maybe a suggestion of one other card to look into, but Health Planning Council, if anybody wants this evaluation, wherever the HHS minutes are, I guess Karen would have that, a clean copy. Health Planning Council was just completely instrumental in getting this off the ground, in taking it out to the pharmacies and making sure people knew about it. And one effort that was really emphasized was that we really need to do sort of re-education about this card periodically. So I hope the press release will help do that. Because what happens is people, if you have no insurance or insurance without drug coverage, this takes 22, 23, 24% off the price of your drugs. If people don't realize they can get that discount, they may not even go to the pharmacy. So we want to have a sort of another education campaign that would help remind people that it exists and that there is that kind of help. So I just want to thank the Health Planning Council for doing this and for coming tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Martha. Other legislators? Dooley?
On a less cheerful note, perhaps, I heard Bill McKibben interviewed this morning. And as you probably know, he is one of the many people publicizing Dr. James Hansen's point that 350 parts per million of CO2 equivalents is really the tipping point for our planet. And as of now, we're up at 387 parts per million. You notice that the ice at the poles is melting faster than ever, not just sea ice, but land ice. And the present goal that is embodied in international agreements would let us get to 480 parts per million, which is, judging by what we know now, totally unacceptable. The the recent climate summit in Poland has just ended with no new agreements, and the next international meeting, when a new goals may be agreed upon, is next December in Copenhagen. The only bright sign is that a lot of the countries are waiting to see what our country is going to do, since we produce a disproportionate share of these emissions. And I guess we have to hope that the new administration will put that as one of the high priorities, the way it was said to be during the campaigns. So I'm glad we're going to address our energy element today, but we're just such a small piece of what needs doing.
Thanks, Dooley. Have Pam, then Leslie.
Yes, I just wanted to report that at our last TCAT meeting, the staff comes up with a monthly report. And the monthly report, I believe it was for October, that for the month's ridership, we had, I think it was 357,000 rides for the month of October, which is the most rides the TCAT has ever had.
Wow.
So that was good news. And then I also just wanted to mention that I went to a meeting yesterday at TC3, and it was a meeting, it's a group that's been meeting for a while. It included people from Cortland State and from Cortland County, from Cornell, from TC3. It was held at TC3. But there were representatives from Tompkins County, Ed Marks and Fernando and Wendt. And then there were some representatives from Tioga County. And the reason I bring it up is because this group applied for or has been awarded $75,000 to study the feasibility of having a regional transit system to include an unknown number of counties. But that's very exciting news. It's very exciting news for our environment, but it's also very exciting news for TCAT, because TCAT is the largest transportation company in the area, and so could possibly benefit from that. So it was a very exciting meeting, and it felt as if I was present at something that was just beginning to set seed, and it was very exciting.
Leslie.
So in the spirit of the holidays, everybody is such serious stuff. I'm wearing my fa-la-la button. If you have not seen, it's not the song, it's just fa-la-la. Just those things. And we're hoping that we'll go from fa-la-la to ta-da-da. Just in terms of collaboration, in all seriousness, this is a project of the Downtown Ithaca Alliance supporting a stamp out against hunger in our community with one of the programs that I work. But more importantly, it's about how we can build collaborations and work together to maximize efficiencies and just help each other out. So if you don't have your fa-la-la button, all of the downtown merchants are selling them. So please do support it. And then this afternoon, in that same happy spirit, I just learned that the FBI list came out of the safest cities. And hopefully I'll hit the news soon that Ithaca is probably number 3 in being the safest cities. Some other place in Utah somewhere, number 1 on the list. Don't remember where it is. So that's a good thing. Our law enforcement people are doing well, and our community in general. We are just happy people who just want to be safe and taking care of each other. So as we go into our holidays, I certainly do want us to keep that in mind and be safe with everything we do. Get your fa-la-la buttons and support each other. Thank you.
Thanks, Leslie. Frank Proto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to highlight two items tonight. First, just a quick reminder, this is the last meeting of the year that we will get together formally as a group. Excuse me. And it's important that we don't forget to remind our constituents, this is for you, Jim, to get your Voice Your Choice selections in for NYSEG. They do by the end of this month. Pardon me. You'll remember at the last meeting, Dooley asked a question about, she was informed that she did not have to change or select or reselect and identify a provider. What we discovered in speaking to each other was that she was not with NYSEG, she was with one of the ESCOs, and they are the other providers. And in those cases, apparently, you don't have to redesignate, but NYSEG does require that you do that. I want to follow up on something Pam said. I wasn't aware of that meeting that took place out at TC3. I would have liked to have gone as vice chairman of the TCAT board. But just as a reminder to the general public, some of us have already begun to get feedback on the proposed route changes that will take place in January. Just to let you know, not every rider is happy about the proposed changes. And I would suggest that if you have any constituents or any of the listening public that has concerns about the time changes and the actual route changes, there are several that are proposed. Pam probably has them at the better access to them than I do tonight. Maybe neither one of us have access to them tonight. But please give TCAT a call. The phone number down there is 277-9388. Please call them directly and let them know of your concern or any constituents' concern that you hear about regarding the route changes, because some of them are going to be a little disruptive. They were a little bit of a concern to some of us on the board at the last meeting.
Thank you, Frank. Kathy Lucerer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If there's a couple of comments I can segue on to. The first one, I'll just say as a city resident and member of the TCAT board, route changes are always controversial, and they always end up disrupting somebody. And the folks at TCAT are doing really good work in trying to maximize our efficiency and also minimize the cost to the public. It's a delicate balancing act. I agree with Frank that if people are inconvenienced, they should give a call, and I also hope that people will be kind when they do make comments, because you know, we're doing the best we can in a really tough situation. Second, about the Voice Your Choice, Martha sent out something from one of her constituents that was an evaluation or a way of evaluating, and it's helpful particularly and really only if you use the fixed rate. If you decide to opt into other rates, those aren't really analyzed in the Excel spreadsheet. But basically, it comes down to one or two choices. So I'm guessing that she's going to chime in with that, and wanted to just add that caveat to it. The last thing I want to do is, as a downtown representative, tell people ice sculpture is amazing. I'm from Texas. I never really saw anything like that except maybe at a wedding before I came here. The throne, all the different things. Downtown last weekend was just magic. I saw bunches of people I know, and I had to say that as a tradition is pretty exciting. And I think that downtown in general for shopping right now is really undergoing a revitalization of sorts, although we've always had some solid efforts going on. This is really a good time to go out and see people you know and also check out the shop. So thanks for the fa-la-la stuff. I forgot about the buttons, and I'm going to pick mine up.
There you go.
Any of the legislative wish to speak under privilege of the floor? If not, we'll move on. I don't know if we have any municipal officials here to speak to us. I don't see any. Under Chair's report, I'll just remind you that we do have a joint legislature department head meeting on Thursday. It's a working meeting. That's from 3:30 to 5:30. And afterwards, we typically have a holiday party, kind of a thank you party for our department heads after this meeting, but we're going to move it to Thursday after that meeting. And you have a little enticement on your desks from the chair, a little piece of chocolate to encourage you to get to the meeting. And if those department heads who are here did not get some chocolate, we have some more still. So please come up after the meeting. That's all I have to report under chair's appointments. I'm going to be appointing Dan Huston to the Workforce Investment Board as the business rep. And we'll move on to reports from County Administrator Joe Mariano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a very brief report on a very large matter, which is the release of the state budget today. I think everyone knows, it's certainly in the news, that the governor has released his proposed budget for the upcoming year. The state budget gap, which was projected at $12.5 billion a few weeks ago, is now at $13.7 billion. The governor is proposing to close that gap through a variety of means, including $9.5 billion in spending cuts, the balance coming in the form of revenue increases. As a part of his proposal, the governor has asked the legislature to close the current year budget gap by February 1st. And to close next year's budget gap by March 1st. So the governor set very aggressive deadlines on trying to bring the budget to closure. I don't know that any of us believe that those targets will be hit, but certainly that the aggressive targets have been set. With respect to our own budget, I've submitted a kind of a highlight sheet that's been prepared by NYSAC, hot off the presses, on all of your desks that will provide some detail about the programs that have been affected in this budget. With respect to the effect of this budget on us, we will take the next several days to do a very detailed assessment of impact. It looks like wherever we receive state aid, there will be impact. Some areas will be affected more than others. Some of the major change areas will occur, I think, in the places that we all have expected, within DSS, for example. It appears that the governor's approach in this budget has been more toward a block grant approach, putting more costs into a block grant, which in itself is not a problem unless the block grant isn't increased to a level that allows you to pay for those additional services in the block grant. And it looks like that will be our dilemma. So some of the things that are currently paid on the state general fund will be in a block grant, and the block grant will not be increased to cover those. So we could find ourselves under this proposal with less money available to support things like the administration, our administration, of the temporary assistance and food stamp programs. The community optional preventive service grant, which supports a large number of programs within DSS, preventive service programs, it looks like that is on the slate for elimination under this proposal. Elsewhere in this budget, highway maintenance aid, there's a proposed cut of about 30% in highway maintenance aid. There are, call them disproportionate reductions in youth services. Probation and criminal justice areas will be affected, including state aid to probation, state reimbursement for the costs, county's costs of housing, state parolees and what we call state readies. Will be, in some cases, reduced or eliminated. There's also a reference in the governor's plan to a reduction in operating aid to TC3 that would affect at least this year. It's unclear whether that decrease for this year would roll over to next year or not. We'll be looking at that in the coming days, along with virtually everything else that's been proposed. So, again, in terms of the overview, I think this is probably consistent with what many people felt would be coming. It's going to take us a little while to get our specific assessments in place, but we are in the process of doing that right now. I guess I'll close this with a reminder that this is basically the first pitch of what will be at least a nine-inning game. Things will go up and down. What's good today may not be so good tomorrow, and vice versa. So this is the very beginning of what promises to be a very long process. So we will be, again, doing impact assessment over the next few days and be briefing you on the specifics of this really shortly.
Thank you, Joe. I think we all are aware that November 18th proposal did not go anywhere. I think February 1st may not go anywhere given the world legislature, but we'll have to see. Nathan.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting today when the governor was doing his speech about the state budget that he actually mentioned that he didn't want to increase state mandates for local governments. And so it's good that he has that, you know, he made that statement publicly in the first hearing about the budget or the first presentation of the budget. So it's good that that's on his radar. I guess our people at NYSAC and others are doing a good job. But I also just wanted to editorialize just for a quick moment that, you know, I'm a little perturbed by this budget because there's an increase in a lot of fees and sales taxes that I think adversely affect low-income and middle-class people. I don't know why we keep on doing this. Why don't we just consider a tax on people making over $1 million rather than just, you know, building up all these fees that affect everyday New Yorkers that are already strained?
Thank you, Nathan. Martha Roberts.
I couldn't agree more. I'm just really disturbed by what I heard in the news. And he mentioned closing certain exemptions and income taxes. So if that's, say, senior citizen exemptions or veterans exemptions, I mean, I don't know, I'm just guessing, but that wouldn't be any better. So and something like, for example, the not paying for state readies in the local jails, if that's not an increase on state mandates, I don't know what is, unless they're going to, like, eliminate housing their folks in our jails, but they've never been able to reduce that time. So I don't know if anybody else wants to comment on the state. That's one thing. But Joe, did you want to say anything about the meeting today?
Go ahead, Martha, if you want to. I can.
Go ahead.
If I could just add one thing on the state budget, just so I'm not the Scrooge of Christmas, because there are some items in the state budget that could prove to be positive for us. First of all, Nathan made the point that the governor doesn't shift the cost of the hard mandates to counties. So, for example, our share of the cost of temporary assistance isn't increased, nor does the governor back away from the cap on Medicaid costs. So, in some respects, this budget does avoid that shift of mandated burden to counties. And there's also a proposed change in the way that the preschool special education program costs are structured could prove to be beneficial for us. So again, I don't want to characterize this as all negative. There are some positive things we're going to be looking at. With respect to the other issue that Martha was talking about, we did meet today with Congressman Hinchey and his staff to begin a discussion about possible initiatives the federal government could do that would be a part of the federal stimulus program to promote economic growth. The time was very needed, and in ways that would be most beneficial to our community, including putting some of the federal stimulus dollars behind things that promote energy conservation and the training of people who would implement energy conservation measures, traditional infrastructure, non-traditional infrastructure. I think we had a very good conversation with the congressman, and again, if the goal was to begin to have some influence on federal policy and how a stimulus package might be structured, I think we came away feeling pretty good about accomplishing that.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you, Martha, for going to Binghamton for that conversation. Jim Dennis?
Just a comment about Nathan's comment about taxing millionaires. I think one has to recognize that the number of millionaires in New York is diminishing very quickly since about September 23rd, and each Ponzi scheme that is discovered eliminates a lot more. So before we move to the millionaires, I would like to count up how many are left when this is all done.
If there's no further comment, Pam?
Well, I just wanted to add that at this meeting that was at TC3 yesterday, that Congressman Arcuri was there, and that he too heard some of the needs that we have in Tompkins County, particularly in the area of transportation. So we've had the ear of two of our federal legislators recently.
Thank you. On to County. Sure. Mike Sigler.
Joe, I just wanted to ask you quickly about the preschool education. The way I read this is they're going to push it on to the school districts.
Well, it's very – well, that's a part of the governor's plan. The governor would take, I think, 15% of the cost of the program and assign that to the schools. That would take some of the burden off of us, more of the burden off of the state. It's interesting that it's not shifting from the county to anyone else. It's really from the state over. I think what the state's intent is, and this has been a part of the conversation for years, is that if schools have a greater stake in the cost implications of policy decisions, they might make those decisions a little differently. I think it picks up on that. Clearly, it comes at a difficult time for school districts because another part of what the governor proposed that doesn't relate to us are some pretty significant reductions in aid to schools. So it comes at a kind of a difficult time for the schools.
Frank Porto.
Joe, the meeting that took place with Congressman Hinchey, we reviewed a draft at the Planning Committee meeting of several initiatives. And some of us were wondering, the whole legislature had not seen that. Are we going to have an opportunity? I mean, there was some interest. I know Carol expressed an interest. Pam expressed an interest. There are some things that some of us would have liked to have added to that list and perhaps share it with some of our colleagues. Did he indicate that he's willing to sit down again to review that type of thing? After we have a chance to, some of us, to weigh in on it?
I certainly think so. That's certainly the feeling I got.
Thanks.
Martha Roberts.
Yeah, you were supposed to get a copy printed. Everybody else got it by email over the weekend, a revised draft that included comments from PDEC including a health care section and talking about rural health clinics, and I mentioned that today in the meeting. This was very much a general kind of conversation. This was clearly not like any specific proposals. And you know, when the guidelines come down, then obviously we'll do more intensive, and staff will really be doing the developing specific proposals. But he seemed to pick up on research and moving alternative energy sources to market. He picked up on, as Joe said, the conservation. He definitely picked up on transportation and TCAT, and was very interested in knowing about new buses. So there were a number of things that he responded to, and basically it was just kind of the flavor of... He did seem to think that the overall package was very much in line with what he's hearing about and his priorities, too. So.
Good. Thank you.
If there's no further questions, we'll move on to County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
I did pass out a report. I hope everybody got it, a memo discussing some of our pending litigation. And if people have questions, please feel free to call me. And if anybody wants a more general discussion, it would be appropriate for an executive session. But other than that, I don't have any report.
Thank you. So we're not planning an executive session unless someone asks for it. David Squires, Finance Director.
I want to let you know that on December 23rd, the county will be receiving bids for the health department project. You approved the bond resolution in late November for that. We'll probably, based upon the results of that, go on the market in February. We also, you know, this is anxious times in the financial markets. Today, the Federal Reserve eliminated interest earnings from investments. I will say one positive thing is the county has met its estimate for interest earnings for 2008 because we lowered them substantially. And so I was. It'll be interesting to see whether the borrowing rates will be impacted by this. There's not a lot of people in the market. If you borrow, the federal government's loaning money at 0% interest for like short term. I think the interest rate was 2.16 for a 10-year Treasury note, and we're going out for a 1-year tax exempt note. So theoretically, you know, we should at least be under 2%. But there's not a whole lot of players in the market right now. But that on December 30th, it'll be an interesting day because we're going to market for $11.1 million of note renewals. The City of Ithaca is going to market for about three different issues. And we have a better credit rating than the city. Matter of fact, speaking of credit ratings, the county's credit rating is higher than the bond insurance companies that have covered county bonds. And, you know, they've all been downgraded. So our actual... underlying rating is better than the bond insurance company's ratings right now.
So can we go into the business of insurance bonds?
We start loaning money.
And I also wanted to point out that we will end the year with some very positive things. We know that we will exceed our estimate in sales tax. We are sweating out this last quarter. Matter of fact, the month of November sales tax income was down 5.75%. In spite of that, we still expect to end up with about $1 million above our estimate. So I don't think there's been any municipalities around that are going to be in that favorable position. And believe me, we're going to need every excess dollar we have. And that's my report.
Thank you, David. Frank?
Dave, did the feds decide to print any paper themselves? Just thought I'd ask. On a serious note, some of us do read the legal notices, and Tompkins County is not immune to foreclosures. I hate to say that. Got any feel at this early stage as to what the impact may be with regard to foreclosures in the county?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Frank, because I forgot to mention that.
Last month I distributed
a list of tax foreclosures, and it was the number of parcels were larger than previous years, though not necessarily larger. It was larger because individual property owners had multiple properties. But we have made progress. Commercial properties, there's been about a third of the properties have been redeemed. In the residential section, I think there were 70 properties, and now it's down to 60 properties. But they still have till January the 9th. And right now, for example, there's two property owners that represent 50% of the commercial class properties. And so there's going to be very few commercial properties. Hopefully there will be very few residential. But it is worrisome. Typically, we always end up with maybe less than 25 properties that go to auction, and we still have quite a bit of time.
Yeah. Thank you.
If there's no further questions, thank you, David. We're going to move on. I don't think we have any staff that want to speak. Yeah, you're waiting for some of the resolutions. So we'll move on to, are there resolutions to be added or withdrawn from the agenda and appointments? Jim Dennis.
I need to add four items to our probation and community justice. They are terminal pay reimbursement and two for the sheriff's department that the
Jim, I think you only have to do it
prior to this meeting.
I think the only ones you have to do are the two sheriff ones, P and Q, in our packet.
All right.
So Jim's moved to add two. Is there a second?
P and Q, you're right. Sorry.
Martha seconds.
Read the titles.
The titles are appropriation from contingency fund, terminal pay reimbursement, sheriff, and appropriation from contingent pay replacement pay, sheriff. If it takes 10 votes to add to the agenda, all in favor of adding?
Aye.
Any opposed? That looks like it's unanimous. Others to add? Frank Proto?
Yes, I'd like to add Resolution S as in Sam, acceptance of legislative initiative grant for personal emergency response systems machines, Office for the Aging.
All right, seconded by Carol.
Can I just have a clarification? We've got two S's in our packet. Is this the S and the other one isn't? The one about the legislative grant for personal... Maybe I'm confused. This must be something old. Okay. Never mind.
The one that Frank just moved is not on the agenda. It's been seconded.
It's the correct S.
This is an old one. Sorry.
Mine is the correct S.
Yours is the correct S. You're right.
Are we ready to vote to add this? It takes 10 votes to add. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. It's on. Pam?
Do we have copies of those resolutions
yes.
on our desk?
Yes. Should be in your red folders.
Yeah, I took everything out of my
room. They're now mixed in the top of your desk. Then. This is a challenging meeting given how many things are being added. It's always hard to keep the right paper in front of us. Other resolutions or appointments to add? Martha Robertson?
I've got a couple buckets of appointments to add. Do you want me to read them all?
No.
I've got a sheet in the back of your red folders and appointments not on the agenda. So there's a bunch for the consent agenda and then four for the regular agenda. The forms applications are also in your packet. And then I would like to just mention I'm not going to move to add Resolution R, which is in your packet about the IDA membership. It was discussed about that people wanted time to talk about this, and there's a memo from John Wood and Mariette Geldenheis that Kathy will distribute with. So this resolution will go on the January 6th agenda along with the memo from John and Mariette.
Okay.
And so I'm not adding that one, but people
okay.
might wonder what's up with that one. So, but I do want to move all those appointments.
Okay, I think I saw Jim second. Is that?
Yes.
Okay. Any discussion before we vote? It takes 10 votes to add all the appointments, some on consent and a few on regular agenda. Ready to vote? All in favor of adding those appointments?
Aye.
Any opposed? This is now part of the agenda. Jim?
Thank you.
May I ask a question
sure.
about the three from public safety? Is that all included in what we
they're
just did? Okay.
Okay. It will be a bit tricky to keep the right paper in front of us at the right time. We're going to do our best. So I'm going to read the consent agenda. If you'd like to have something taken off, Please do so. I'm going to start with the appointments. To the Library Board of Trustees, Richard Driscoll, Mike Hall, Nancy Schuler, Erica Cree. To the Advisory Board on Indigent Representation, Seth Peacock, Bill Furness. To the Stop DWI Advisory Board, Charles Howard. To the Emergency Communications Review and Oversight Committee, Tim Bangs and Vince Monticello Sr. To Public Information Advisory Board, Chuck Broadhead. To the Office for the Aging Advisory Committee, Eugene Loveless, Maxine Nichols, Don Jean Darling. To the Youth Services Board, Dr. Jeffrey Bishop, Amanda Verba, and also Steve Farkas with a different term. To the Personal Emergency Response Service Advisory Board, Cindy Siracci. To the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Christine Ballinger, Sean Martel Moore, and those that were just added, I will now read. To the Local Empire Zone Administration Board, Jean McPeters, Mike Hattery, Carl Haynes. To the Water Resources Council, Sharon Anderson, Cindy Schulte, Todd Miller, Liz Cameron, Elaine Caroni. I'm sorry if I'm butchering people's names here. Donna Eschenbrenner and Herb Dwyer. To the Environmental Management Council, Steve Comar, Amy Ryson, James McGarry, Kenny Christensen, Dan Lamb, and Marissa Weiss. And to the regular agenda portion, which we'll vote on later, I guess that's been added, so that's not on consent. That's the appointments. Now to the resolutions that are on consent. For Budget and Capital Committee, implementation of 2009 Tompkins County budget memberships, that's Resolution A. Resolution B, implementation of 2009 budget departmental fees. Resolution C, authorization to disburse funds, county administration. Resolution D, delegation of authority to authorize certain tax and solid waste refund funds under $500. Resolution E.
Off, please.
Okay. Resolution F, authorizing changes in charge structure, Tompkins County Home Health Care Health Department. Resolution G, authorization to accept Violence Against Women Act development grant from Federal Department of Justice, Department of Social Services. And Resolution H, correction of errors. Resolution I, this is the revised version that's in your red folders, designation of newspaper. With E off, who'd like to move the consent? Leslie moves it. Mike Hattery seconds. Is there any discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. Good bulk of our business just got done. All right. As you shuffle your papers, let's move on. Before I go to the regular agenda, which are committee reports and the resolutions which are not on consent, I will remind people that our committee meetings for 2008 will continue in January 2009. The lateness of our first meeting and the time to schedule new committees will preclude us being able to probably meet on the new 2009 committees in January, so the 2008 committees will meet. So chairs, please schedule those meetings. We will start with Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee. Martha Robertson, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We met on December 11th, and there are a couple of things on the couple of resolutions. Just to report briefly on a couple of other items. On your desks is homework. This is sort of the history and current proposal of from planning. It's called Community Housing Affordability Program and Community Housing Trust Program of the Housing Fund. PDEC approved the resolution, approved the Memorandum of Understanding for the housing program with Cornell and the city. It's a very big sort of step for us, and we wanted to have a presentation to the whole legislature. We'll do that on January 6th. This really has all the information you could ever need. But if, in addition, you have questions, call Jean Lissess. But I hope folks will take a look at this. There's sort of the background, the housing strategies in here, the timeline.
story about of sort of who's been involved to this date. This concerns the $10 million proposal from Cornell to engage with the county and with the city. Actually, this part is just a part of that money, and but it's outlined quite well in here. If you need to sit down and read through it, or just page through and sort of look at different parts of it, but I just want to bring your attention to it. You've got it now, so that it'd be great if we could vote on it January 6th. If people need more time after that presentation, it could be voted on January 20th. But this is the background, and so you'll have that there.
That's a great job. The actual MOU is in Section 6, and the resolution we'll be voting on January 6th is in Section 5.
So that represents a tremendous amount of work by Ed and Jean, and so really pleased about that. Other work at the committee, Carol and Pam have been acting as a subcommittee for talking about tourism and looking into tourism and the staffing issues to move ahead and try to identify exactly what the right role might be for a paid professional to help direct this tourism program. So we heard a report about that. We talked at some length about the stimulus package proposal that that we discussed with Congressman Hinchey today, and also voted on the resolution about the IDA membership. As I mentioned, that I was not putting that on the agenda tonight, but the committee voted to support the membership categories as defined by the IDA in their bylaws revision from the month of November, and that was for October. So that will come to the board, to this board in January. If there are no questions about any of that, I can go to
two questions. I see Carol, then Dooley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to make very clear that the subcommittee charge is really concerns the staffing, and people should not confuse it with any other tourism discussions. And then on the housing thing, I want to echo the thanks for this. I want to absorb a little bit of the blame for you guys ending up with such a thick packet. We had a thick packet at the committee, and it's been a lot of work. And in order to try to clarify and lighten people's work, I asked that we get the information with it more clearly delineated what was the section that we, all of us, really needed to focus on, and with the rest of it attached, because that wasn't entirely clear. And so I just want to make sure people understand that it's really only Section 6 for those who don't want to immerse themselves in the entire book, that it really is Section 6 that we'll all be asked to act on. And the rest is for background and detail.
Thank you, Carol. Dooley?
Thanks.
Well, maybe you'd rather I wait to react till next meeting, but I was quickly reading over Resolution R, assuming it was going to be added. And although IDA recommends, and apparently PDEQ agreed, on revising the makeup of the board, since best practices language that's in the resolution is only advisory, and I think our county considered very carefully what the makeup of that board should be when it was first established, and I don't think legislative representation needs to be diminished. Instead of adding a municipal official, an elected municipal official, to replace one of the county legislators, I would not vote to support that, because a municipal official, by definition, looks at a particular portion of the county, whereas we, although we're elected from districts, have a history of looking at the county as a whole, and I think that we're better served by having four elected legislators. The other changes, I'm fine with.
We will not be having a discussion on this tonight. We will not be having responses. This will be discussed and hopefully voted on January 6th. We do have a memo from Jonathan that speaks to some of what Dooley spoke to.
And in fact, PDEQ looked at another copy, another flavor of the resolution that basically said
keep the status quo and chose the one that I mentioned. So, but I can present that to the full legislature, too.
Why don't you start with your appointments?
Okay. Where'd that go?
There's four appointments, Planning Advisory Board.
Right. I was all ready for edging. All right, Planning Advisory Board, I'll do from memory. Empire Zone. Planning Advisory Board was...
There were four...
Thank you.
Four appointments for the regular agenda.
I'm sorry. Okay, Andrew Zepp, Fernando de Aragon, Martha Armstrong, and John Gutenberger, and I so move.
Who'd like to second? Carol Chalk? Is there discussion? I think the reason this was not on consent was there was one dissenting vote in committee. If there's no further discussion, are we ready to vote? All in favor of seating those appointments? Are there any opposed? Looks like that's unanimous. Thank you very much. On to your resolutions.
Resolution J, making a negative declaration of environmental significance in relation to resolution number K of 2008. So moved.
Kathy Musavera seconds. For the young people here, I'll just mention that this is actually the beginning of the substantive part of our meeting. Everything else was commentary and consent agenda.
Hey.
And now we get to move. So if you were not paying attention before, now would be a good time to start paying attention. Dooley Kiefer.
In the first resolve, I'd like to ask to insert the word negative between significant and effect. So it reads, will not have a significant negative effect.
Is that friendly?
Second resolve?
You said the first resolve.
I'm sorry.
That's friendly.
Is that friendly to get? Okay, that's part of the resolution now. Any further discussion on the negative declaration? Mike Sigler?
I don't disagree with Dooley, but I think there's a reason we didn't put it in there in committee. And I think the reason was some kind of state law. If I'm incorrect, they can correct me, but I seem to remember, because we thought this was kind of a silly resolution considering what you're trying to do is actually the opposite of what this says.
I think Dooley's wording was try to, later on in that resolve, it says that there's a positive effect. She just wanted to not be contradictory to say not a significant.
I'm not being... how to explain this? I think there's a reason that it's written that way.
Okay. Jonathan, do you have a suggestion?
I didn't write it, but oftentimes they use the word not significant adverse effect.
Adverse. Oh.
So I think that would be fine.
Well, presently it's negative. Further discussion on the negative declaration. Are we ready to vote? All in favor?
Are we changing it to adverse?
That's fine.
Dooley is changing it to adverse. It's friendly, so now it's adverse.
Okay.
We're voting with that word change. All in favor?
Done.
Any opposed? Negative declaration. 1, 2, 3 opposed. Thank you. Moving on to K.
Resolution K, adoption of the energy and greenhouse gas emissions element as an amendment to the county comprehensive plan. I so move.
Is there a second? Pam McAsee. Discussion, Martha.
And I would just to say this, I'd like the tip of the hat to Dooley for asking that the original comprehensive plan have a section on energy, and here it is. And I think it's a terrific document, a great addition to the plan, broad support in the community, and many community partners ready to support our work and, you know, to be taking on initiatives themselves. And Leslie, I'm glad you're here at this meeting. We thanked Katie last meeting, and I want to thank both of you again for this exemplary work.
The goal by 2050 is for the people who are...
Reduction of 80% of our greenhouse gases from the baseline 2008 numbers.
Thank you. Kathy, then Dooley, then Pam.
I agree that Dooley's suggestion to include this is exemplary. I mean, some people might say that it was, predicting the future, anyway, she actually prescient.
Prescient.
Yes, but it really wasn't, because lots of people in this arena, in the planning department and the planning arena, have been working on this sort of thing for a long time. And I want to say that they did an excellent job of moving this forward through the community, and that this resolution actually represents a collaborative effort, and getting people to agree on something this complex and also this important is probably a lot worse than herding cats. So it was great that Dooley brought it up, and I think that this is a great endeavor, and I'll support the resolution as written.
Thank you, Kathy. Dooley, then Tam.
Well, obviously, I'm very supportive of this element. However, this is the first time that the chance the legislature itself has gotten to vote on the actual wording. There have been meetings all over the community and changes made to reflect much of that input. I want to raise tonight what had been sent in as a comment from the Environmental Review Committee of the EMC. The EMC is fully supportive of the element. But the changes that didn't get made in the element that I still feel strongly about, I would like to offer as legislative changes, since after all we're the ones who have to pass on the wording. And I doubt that everyone has a copy of the element in front of him or her now. I don't, but I have what I think I can explain simply. On page one of the element, there is first paragraph, first sentence. Says the projected decline in world oil supply, dot, dot, dot. And right after that, the projected decline in world oil supply, I would like to insert parenthesis, quote, peak oil, unquote, end paren. Because that's really the definition of peak oil. And then on page 7 at the end, there are action items. And the third item, I also would like to add the word peak oil at the end of that, to have an adaptation plan that addresses greenhouse gas emissions and peak oil. So those are the two changes I'm offering for your consideration as changes in this. And I'd like to make that motion, if that's how I do it, by making the motion.
There's actually a motion to change the wording in the plan, and a motion to change the resolution. Is there a second to change the wording in the plan? Well, Burbank, is there discussion changing the wording in the plan regarding peak oil? Are you ready to vote? Martha?
I heard the same story that Dooley heard this morning on the radio about things being essentially worse than we expected, and I think I'm not sure it will make that much difference in what anybody does with this, although if there's a sense of urgency that that phrase will add, I think I'm all for that. I would support this right now.
Thank you. I think it's part of the general education of the community, and I think there are people in the community who are very concerned about that one aspect, and this will help bring them in.
Will, then Kathy, then Mike, and then I'll speak.
Yeah, I second this and strongly support it, because I think we are in a state of collective denial about the situation at our ever-depleting oil reserves. Most of us drive vehicles. We watch very carefully the price of gas go up and down, and with great mystery, you know, it seems to be going down now. But if you look at world supplies, it is very, very worrisome, and it cannot continue. We cannot continue organizing our society over ever increasing use of oil-based fuels. So I strongly urge us to put the words peak oil into our discussion and use it as a vehicle to educate ourselves and our public.
Kathy, then Mike Sigler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with the sentiments expressed about the urgency and about the need to educate the public. My perspective of educating the public involves collaboration, and it's my understanding that this is an effort that's been put together over a long period of time, and even that the phrase peak oil was introduced previously and wasn't necessarily amenable to everybody at that time. I understand that part of our function is to lead And it's my belief that one good way to lead in this situation is to allow for a broader range of opinions about that particular phrase. And for myself, I won't be supporting inserting the phrase when we already have a document that was accepted, was supported by a wide range of people. And it's my belief that that collaboration and that group should be supported in doing that. For me, means not adding words after everybody's already agreed, even if we feel strongly that they're right.
Mike Ziegler.
Just a few things, I guess. I don't want people to think I'm an anti-environment person, so I better speak on this.
This is regarding the adding of the words peak oil, not the general resolution.
Fair enough.
I'll get back to you on that. This is just wording change. I'm going to speak to the adding of the wording regarding peak oil. I'm not going to be supporting that. I think there's been volumes written on that phrase that we cannot possibly contain in just sliding it into our new element. And I don't want to add people's resistance to trying to reach this goal by adding that phrase. So I won't be supporting it. I have Mike Hattery next, and then we're going to vote on the wording change.
I'll wait until the...
Okay, on the word, on the additional two places that were phrased peak oil might be added. Carol Chuck.
Yeah, I'm really conflicted about adding this phrase for all the reasons that Kathy just outlined. And before this morning, I had been planning, even though I actually believe, as Will stated, that peak oil, that this really is a problem that we have to face, and that using some of that terminology is necessary. I wasn't going to support it because of the planning process, and because I do believe that this whole effort has been an incredible planning process, and I'd like the record to recognize the work of our planning department in really soliciting input from so many elements of the community and doing a great job coalescing agreement on a document. It wasn't just any old speech this morning on the radio. This was the UN conference. And we are now, there seems to be general agreement that we're really past the point that we can, that we might even be able, not even be able to recover. So I guess I'll change what I had said as of yesterday, and I will support adding peak oil at this point, given the new information.
On the adding of the phrase, Martha?
We get these things to vote on for a reason. It's not just a rubber stamp, and I think it's entirely appropriate to add this. It did come from the community. It was one of those things that wasn't entirely unanimous, but there was a strong sentiment from the community, and I think it's perfectly appropriate that we add what might be our collective wisdom to this document.
Ready to vote on the two places that Dooley suggested as an amendment to add peak oil to the document. All in favor of adding that phrase two times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That passes 8-5. With peak oil in, I'm going to go back to the order of people who were requesting to speak. Pam McAsee is next.
I'm sorry?
You had raised your hand to speak on the general resolution, but if you don't want to now, I can come back to you later.
Well, I guess I would. I probably am repeating what people have said, but I just, it was so impressive when I looked through the list of meetings and the list of groups and the discussions that took place around this. I don't think I've ever seen such an extensive kind of reaching out to the community by any. And I think that Leslie and Katie take in the planning department and Jean deserve a huge amount of credit because it took a huge amount of their time and effort. So even if you don't support this, you have to be impressed by the level at which they attacked this and pulled it together, and I salute them for that work.
Thank you, Pam. Mike Ziegler, then Mike Hattery, then Kathy.
Well, back to what I was saying before. I suppose that if I supported the comprehensive plan when it came out, I would probably support this. However, since I didn't then, I don't want to support additions to it. I will say that this is much better than what I first read when it first came out. My big problem with the comprehensive plan is the same problem that I have with this. I'm basically against centralized planning at the county level. I think that planning is inherently a town and a city issue. I think that the city, if they wanted to pass something like this, that would be under their purview. If Lansing wants to, again, that's what we have planning departments in our towns to do. And that is their role under state law, is that's what planning departments do for the towns and for the city. With that said, going deeper into the document, and I think the goals are amiable, and I think they're good goals, that we want to make these huge reductions. The fact of the matter is, this county has a coal plant in it, produces a lot of CO2. Unless you figure out a way of sequestering carbon in a cost-effective way, you're not going to solve this carbon problem. Unless you figure out how to do that, and there are people working on it. In fact, our own coal plant here, they've got to be looking at it, just as every other, all 1,500 coal plants in America are looking at how to get coal to be, you know, carbon neutral. And if we can get that technology and export it to other countries, you may be onto something. But I don't see anything coming out of this that actually has real solutions other than the energy efficiencies that I see within it. But there are a lot of those in this plan, and I see that. However, I would rather see this on the town level and not the county level.
Thank you, Michael. Mike Hattery?
I guess a little bit of a repeat of what Mike Sigler had to say. As a town board member, I did not support a resolution in support of the county comprehensive plan because of the county's incursion into what has been the domain of towns and villages in the city. So I won't support it for that reason. Also, I find myself in disagreement with a number of the assumptions under global context and a number of the action items. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Kathy Lucevera.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I support the county comprehensive plan. I think that when we go out to the municipalities and try to elicit support for these ideas, and when we do centralized planning, we're doing the kind of leadership that is appropriate for the long term. And because of that, and because of the extraordinary efforts that are made to gain consensus, I take exception to the addition of the word peak oil. I know I'll go down in infamy as a Democrat that dared to vote against this, but I'm doing it because it was undemocratic, in my opinion, to add the wording, especially such charge wording that's been discussed at length and denounced by many in our community. I understand that most of us believe that peak oil has arrived. I still think that it's not just undemocratic, it's rude to change the wording to something that people have agreed to. And as this body has, especially of late, made an unfortunate habit of that, despite the political fallout from it, I'm going to call it every time. And I'll be voting against this resolution. For the record, I want to say it's an extraordinary effort, and I'm sorry it was ruined by the political shenanigans.
Martha Robertson.
I understand that state law, and maybe the county charter, at least allows us, if not mandates, that county planning produce a comprehensive plan. Is that right, Ed?
Charter says we shall. State law says we may.
He wasn't in a microphone. Our county charter says that, I'm repeating what Ed said, that we shall prepare a county comprehensive plan, and the state law allows us to. It's clear this is not land use control. It's a very different animal. This makes no effort, no interest, nothing in the direction of land use control. But this is a professional document that involves a level of research and expertise that, I mean, Dryden has a great planner, but they don't have a planning department and couldn't support a planning department that could produce anything like this. So by being through the compendium of interests of the whole county, I think this is an important and valuable function.
Are we ready to vote on adding the energy and greenhouse gas emissions element to our comprehensive plan? All in favor, please raise your hands and keep them up. Like 9. Opposed? That passes with 9 in favor and 4 opposed. Thank you very much, Martha. On to your next resolution.
Thank you all for that. Resolution L, appropriation from Contingent Fund International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives, ICLEI membership.
Is there a second? Kathy Bruce-Segura seconds. Is there discussion? Duly Kiefer.
I'd like to offer a small wording change, Martha.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to count this time. It's the fourth whereas. The third line says, which expresses all GHG emissions containing CO2 equivalents. I think it should say, which expresses all GHG emissions in terms of CO2 equivalents.
That's friendly.
It's friendly. It's friendly, Kathy. With that wording change, are we ready to vote? Regarding a $1,200 membership. All in favor?
Do you need a roll call?
I'm sorry, you're right. Short form roll call, you're right.
Mrs. McBean Clairborne?
Yes.
Ms. Mankiewicz?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be recorded as a no? Mike Hattery, recorded as a no. Thank you very much. On to Resolution M.
Resolution M, authorizing a lease agreement between the county and the Tompkins County Soil and Water Conservation District. I so move.
And seconded by Frank Proto. Is there discussion? Resolution M, authorizing our county administrator to enter into an agreement for leasing space for one of our units of government.
It's the one that's in the packet, right?
Yes, yes. M that's in the packet. No revised version.
Okay.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much.
We'll meet on January 8th. That's the second Thursday. That'll be our regular time. So the 2008 committee will meet January 2009 at 3 o'clock. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Frank.
Since Martha's still giving her report,
yes.
I'd just like to comment on some of us have a little different take on the comprehensive plan, Martha, and because it doesn't say land use control, if one reads it, there are sections of it that certainly allude to land use control. And that's why there were some negative votes, perhaps myself and I think the representative from Groton at the time were the only two that voted against it. And just as a reminder, it's unique that even voting against it, there are sections of it that we support. So I just think it, for clarification, I think it needed to be said that some of us have a little different interpretation than you do.
Thank you, Frank.
Move on
to the Budget and Capital Committee. Nathan Shinagawa, Chair.
Thank you, Mike. The Budget and Capital Committee met last Monday and discussed a number of issues. As you may have saw in the newspaper, we looked at the room tax issue again, and we've decided that we would like to take some action on likely the second meeting of January. Who knows what the makeup of the Budget and Capital Committee committee will be at that time, but we hope that that we can take it up then. We had a few resolutions, and I know I have, and Martha, you pulled Resolution E, right? So,
yeah.
Correct.
Right, so I'll get to that. But also, I wanted to just say what's on the next agenda for next Monday. We will be looking at this this report and also taking action on the authorization to enter in an agreement with the City of Ithaca and the Cornell University to develop and administer the Housing Affordability Program and the Housing Trust Program. That's going to be an action item. And then also, I've added a discussion about the Volunteer Tax Assistance Program. What's happened is that the AFCU, the Alternatives Federal Credit Union, has been running this program. I think it served something like 700 or 800 people last year. And I think the average amount of money that was refunded was like $1,500 or something. So it brought over $1 million back into the community. They had applied for 2 grants, and didn't get one of the grants, and the other grant was significantly less than they had thought. And so, but because they thought that they would be able to get these grants, they didn't apply for county funds last year, or for the budget for the 2009 budget. And so what's happened now is that they have a budget shortfall. and may not be able to run the volunteer tax assistance program. And so as a result, I've asked Carl Graham, the director of community relations and development at AFCU, to come and talk about what their financial needs might be. And this is purely a discussion. If we do take action, it won't happen in this meeting, but probably in a subsequent meeting. The amount of money that we're potentially maybe looking at might be $10,000 to $15,000. They are approaching the city of Ithaca. They are approaching different banks in the community and stuff for support to make up for this shortfall. But anyway, this discussion will happen, and I didn't have enough time to get supporting materials into the agenda. But Carl will bring it on the meeting on Monday, and then we can discuss it. There'll be time to digest it, and maybe take action later on.
Thank you, Nathan. This is a prospective report of a committee meeting coming up. I don't want to spend a lot of time, Frank.
Well, that's what we're here for, Mike. Nathan, can you, off the top of your head, indicate which grants, which one was cut back, and perhaps the other one that was cut out?
Yeah. I don't know the one that was cut out, but I know the one that was cut back, which is the more significant one. It was an IRS grant. The IRS actually awarded these grants, and what happened is that they reduced the size of those grants. And so what happened is that AFCU applies for the grant as part of a network, and they get a portion of the grant money from this pool that this network applies for as a group to the IRS. And what happened is that they got significantly less because the amount of money got reduced by the feds.
The reason I'm asking.
Yeah.
My recollection is that HSBC contributes $10,000 to AFCU for that particular program.
Yes, that is exactly right. Yeah.
And I'm not aware that has been cut.
No, that has not been cut, and that's one of the highlights of at least of this situation.
Thanks.
One of the good things.
That's what I was worried about. You knew something that I had.
Oh yeah, no, that was that's A-OK. And much appreciated.
Thank you, Nathan. On to Resolution E. Carol?
I have a question. Did you say that the tourism resolution will be coming to us for a decision in January?
It will be, for possible action in the second meeting of January. Yes.
Okay. I would just urge the committee to consider asking for further input from the PDQ committee, and then I know this is on the agenda for the STPB agenda tomorrow afternoon at, I believe that's at 3:00, and their meeting tomorrow is at the Holiday Inn in the back room there. So I would urge us to be getting soliciting input from some of the other stakeholders. I personally feel like I would probably need more time to consider this than coming to a January meeting.
Thank you. Jim Dennis?
Nathan, if I remember correctly, we were talking about the second budget meeting of January, which would actually move it to February for action.
Right. Oh. Right. For the county?
Right.
Yeah, to the committee. That's right. Yeah, to the budget and capital committee. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Martha?
So if PDEC talks about it on January 8th,
then
you have it on your second January meeting.
Right.
Fourth
Monday of January is your second meeting, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Now we've got the timing clear and which committees will meet when to discuss it. You can attend all of them if you'd like. Resolution E.
Okay, Resolution E, creation or of abolition of and changes in positions, various departments. I so move.
Is there a second? Martha Robertson seconds. Discussion. Martha?
I pulled it off consent because I was puzzled by the health department positions here. One community health nurse being decreased from 35 to 27 hours a week. Director of preschool special education decreased from 35 to 17 and a half hours per week. Then there's an account clerk typist increased from 28 to 35. But the two cuts, wasn't my memory, so I wrote to Alice Cole, Director of Public Health, and Ted, I thought we had approved these as OTR requests during the budget process, and she said, yes, these cuts were the OTRs that were approved. To balance the budget, we still had to do reductions. If you didn't approve the OTRs, these positions and the part-time sanitarian would have been abolished. Right. So I just, that's just kind of information I wanted to add in. And I mean, I remember we were really very kind of upset about the consequences of reducing those positions, and that's why we voted for the OTRs, and it appears...
We saved part of the positions. This whole page is a consequence of our budget actions and creating and abolishing and changing positions based on those actions earlier this year. Are we ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution E?
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? It passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Nathan. I think that's
the
end of your resolutions. On to Public Safety Committee, Jim Dennis, Vice Chair.
Thank you, Michael. Let me get right to it. I would like to move Resolution N, which is appropriation from the Contingent Fund Replacement Pay, Department of Probation and Community Justice. And let me just say in the resolution, if I may add, allows for replacement pay to the department from the Contingent Fund.
That's in the second.
I would move that.
In the second, whereas you're adding three words, replacement pay to the department.
To the department.
Is there a second? Will Burbank second? Is there discussion? This is a short form roll call. If there's no discussion, I guess we'll go ahead.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yeah.
Nancy?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be recorded as a no? Passing unanimously. On to Resolution O.
Resolution O, appropriation from Contingent Fund, Terminal Pay Reimbursement, Department of Probation and Community Justice. And somehow it made it into the department in this one, and so I would like to move this resolution.
Thank you, Jim. Is there a second? Martha seconds. Is there discussion? If not, this is also a short form roll call.
Mrs.
McBean
Claiborne?
Yes.
Ms. Nancy?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be recorded as a no? If not, that's unanimous. Thank you. And there were two resolutions added.
That's right. Appropriation from Contingent Fund Terminal Pay Reimbursement Sheriff's Office / Jail. And I would move that.
That's seconded by Mike Hattery. Is there discussion? This is one of the two that were not on our agenda. Resolution P. If there's no discussion, this is also a short form roll call.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be recorded as a no vote? If not, that's unanimous. And on to Resolution Q.
Thank you. Appropriation from Contingent Fund Replacement Pay Sheriff's Office Jail. And I would like to add the words to the department in the second whereas between pay and from. And I would move that.
Is there a second? Leslie McBean Claiborne seconds. Is there discussion? Resolution Q. If there's no discussion, this is also short form roll call.
Last one. Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
Aye.
You
beat me a throw. We're going another way.
Yeah. Is there anyone who wishes to be recorded as a no vote? Seeing none, that is unanimous. Thank you very much, Jim. We'll move on to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee.
That concludes my report.
Leslie McBean Claiborne, Chair.
Deputy SC will meet tomorrow at 3:30 in the Beverly State Conference Room in the DSS building.
Thank you, Leslie. On to Health and Human Services Committee. Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee met on the 3rd, and we had quite an extensive agenda. The Health Planning Council gave us, pardon me, an update on their efforts on behalf of the Universal Service Fund. There apparently are only 3 potential installations in the county that might be eligible under the health umbrella, and they're currently exploring those with Karen. It doesn't look likely that we're going to be able to draw any funds in. They're running into the same snag that the rural libraries ran into, where it's more expensive, time-consuming-wise, to spend the time collecting what the information than to get the $1,500 or $1,800 back that they may only be eligible for. We don't know that yet, but we're still looking at it. Martha raised the question at the last legislative meeting regarding Medicare Part D, and it was addressed that, yes, indeed, folks have until the end of this month. The 31st seems to be a big date, doesn't it? The different companies, the insurance companies, have an opportunity to change some of the parameters on what they're offering. And this is the month that individuals can weigh in, change, not change. And the Office for the Aging is putting on several of these, Lifelong is putting on several clinics, if you will. One is on the 18th, another the 22nd, and another the 29th. Now, for anyone who's interested in reviewing their current Medicare Part D coverage and what the prescription drug coverage might become if they choose to opt into one of the other plans. Let me say that again, lifelong, not COFA, beg your pardon. The Nancy Zaler reported on a survey that the Youth Services Board has been doing with the state and with the school districts. This was quite interesting. I want to mention this only because it involves the school districts in Tompkins County, and it was with regard to students' behavior and attitude towards alcohol, drugs, and gambling. And it was quite interesting. They're waiting for the results. We saw a copy of the survey, and the school districts were permitted to add a question or two on their own. So that was a first. The groups had asked that that be permitted, and it was. So we'll see what the results are, probably in January, February. They're going to get it back over a six-month period, I think, if I recollect what Nancy said correctly. Nathan is nodding. That must be an indication. Is that what you remember also? Anyway.
I'm sure Martha or Carol has a better memory.
At any rate, we'll be getting the results of that over the next 4 or 5 months is what I recollect. I won't go into too much more of that. I want to draw your attention to the grant. Remember at the last board meeting I mentioned to you that G. McFeeters and Warren Allman had collaborated on an article that was in the journal on the editorial page. I had, if you were interested, copies were printed out and put in your box. It was with regard to the impact of the human service sector on our community, and it was just an opening a summary of some of the information that they've gathered. One of the resolutions we passed earlier this evening deals with DSS. It was the Violence Against Women's grant for $150,000. That was a very good piece of information for us to receive at the committee, simply because we're interested in getting the community to recognize how important it is for some of our departments and agencies to stay in the mix, even though the governor's thrown us some interesting things to consider. We still want to apply for these grants. This particular one will be very helpful, according to Patricia Carey, and it was well received. The other item that we passed earlier this evening was the change in fee structure for the home health aides, and there were a series of individuals with regard to the department. And I want to draw your attention to that fee structure. Just because we changed the fees does not mean that the home health aides are going to receive more. They didn't get a salary increase. And some of you have heard some of us speak about this over the last several years. It still remains a challenge to make sure that these folks are recognized appropriately, and they're certainly, in my opinion, and I know some of you agree, are underpaid. But that resolution we passed earlier tonight did not change their salary structure. It only changed the fee structure by which we can collect more income. There was quite a bit of activity. Sean Martel Moore gave us an update on the Human Rights Commission and year-end report. Quite interesting. I challenge you to read the minutes of our Health Committee meeting because Karen did a wonderful job. Sean, I apologize in the interest of time. I know the chairman will get on my case here in a minute. I want to thank Martha for giving the update on the evaluation of the Tompkins RX program a little bit earlier. I won't repeat that. Thank goodness. And, pardon me. The next committee meeting will be on the 7th of January at 3 o'clock. Bob DeLuca did bring us up to date on a lot of the information pertaining to the mental health department and some of the nuances that the feds are changing. Remember, the Broome Development Group is paring back, and they might be closing. I think they have decided to close a facility in Broome County, and that affects some of the programs that we deliver right here. I'd be happy to talk to you a little bit more about that after the meeting, but again, I think Mike has some other things on his agenda for completion tonight. Any other? You don't need to hear from me for 15 minutes.
We could stretch it out.
Yeah.
Can you?
All the way to the new year, Frank.
Hey, Mike. Okay. Sit back. Would you like to take a break and get a cup of coffee? Thanks. I appreciate it. Are there any questions for me? Thank you.
Leslie has a question.
Well, since
Frank, sorry, Leslie.
That's fine. Since you brought up the fee structure, please may I be reminded, is the per hour visit home health aid, is not what's charged to the client?
It's the ability to get that's reimbursed by the third party. We're allowed to charge based on the formula that the accountant that we use has come up with. So we are allowed to apply for, we are allowed to charge that amount to third-party payers, insurance companies, and whatnot. We may have to accept less because it may be part of what they're permitted to pay. Is it? Do you have the resolution in front of you?
I think I do, yes.
Okay.
But thank you. I'll ask my question at a different time. Thanks.
Great.
Let me add one
Martha,
other.
Martha one had other, a quick question.
Oh.
At the meeting, Alice Cole mentioned that if there's a private pay client, they are charged on a sliding fee scale, period.
Thank you.
Frank, one final thing, I hope.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know, some of us, Martha, I know was there, a couple of you were there at the 40th anniversary of the Health Planning Council, that we had a wonderful time and a nice luncheon earlier this month. And any of you that could make it, I know those folks really appreciated it. It was good to see some of the original group that helped form that, including Bev Lizzie.
On to Resolution S.
Resolution S.
The real one.
Acceptance of legislative initiative grant for personal emergency response systems, machines, office for the aging. I'll move that.
Who would like to second? Dooley Keeper seconds. Is there discussion? Martha Robertson.
Just like to the department seems to get left out of those. These legislative initiative grants seldom say which legislator. Does anybody know where this grant comes from? Okay.
All right, ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution S, please raise your hands.
Aye.
Any opposed? That looks like it's unanimous. Thank you very much. That's the end of our resolution.
I have 10 more minutes worth of information.
That's the end of our resolutions. We have three more committee reports. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Leslie Bean Clairborn, Chair.
The fabulous F&I Committee. Frank, I'll take up some of the time. did not meet in December, but we will meet, if I understand it right, January 15th, if there are items for the agenda. If there are no items for the agenda, we will not create them and will not meet on January 15th.
All right. Thank you for your report. On to Human Resources Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you, Michael. Number one, there is a meeting wizard that I believe almost everyone has weighed in on, I hope, to set up the meeting with Paula to discuss the direct performance evaluation, and we can all get together and learn how to use that document, and I hope people sign up for that. It's 3 days, 3 or 4 days in the end of January. But there are 4 days to choose from. If you want to call, come all 4 days. 3 days, there will be no one there. Second item, I just wish to wish a happy holiday to all the employees of the county, 700-plus employees, and that they have saved time and are able to spend some time with their families and enjoy the next few weeks with them. And finally, the ice sculpture, I just wanted to make a comment on that. As a former city legislator, I too was in town the other day, and I especially like the Elvis ice sculpture because more in my time frame. And finally, that would be it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. If there's no questions, we'll move on to Government Operations Committee. Michael Hattery, Chair.
It's the end of the line here. We met on December 12th. We had a discussion with Greg Potter, who's working hard on an updated communications policy. He's going to be working with Anita Fitzpatrick and Jonathan Woods at the first step of this process, which is hopefully going to be completed by, if I remember right, July of 2009. And he's going to be working also with, after initial interactions with Anita and Jonathan, a group of department heads, IT staff, both his direct, I don't know if that's the right term, direct reports and IT staff in other departments, and a group of organized labor representatives. We're going to have an opportunity to review this kind of mid-course, not for adoption or discussion, but for review and comment. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully it will come back to us for final adoption in July. I spared you the gory details.
Is there a legislator on that group? Does the legislator attend those meetings?
Well, you know, there's these three subgroups, and then there's going to be reporting back to the committee.
Okay.
So right now, no.
Okay.
Secondly, we got an update on the from the Deputy County Administrator on the Administrative Manual Maintenance Team. There's a lot of movement on that, and if you look at your schedule, whoever's on GO next year will have the opportunity to review a lot of final product.
Excellent.
Paula did that. And finally, I think for maybe the third meeting in a row, one of which I missed, we had a discussion, but we were one legislator shy on what I will call compensation for legislators during the 2010-2014 term. And I think I just want to give you a heads up. I think, you know, there's some differences of opinion on the committee. I think one of those differences is how do we respond to the current economic hard times that we're facing in terms of setting legislative salaries. I'm sorry, legislative compensation. And secondly, I think there's a difference among members of the committee, and I think it's probably mirrored on the legislator. I wouldn't dare to argue what the numbers are, regarding how we view the role of the legislator and whether becoming a legislator in Tompkins County means something about your employment status, and whether or not you really need to have a reduced employment status to become a legislator, even though many of us around this table are fully employed as well as being legislators. So I think those are things we're going to think about
I assume that we'll bring something out of committee in January if I'm still on GO.
Thank you, Michael. We will not be discussing that tonight.
Thank you. Why not?
We will be meeting on Thursday. For the beginning of that meeting, we'll actually look at our accomplishments, department head accomplishments for 2008. So although we're closing this meeting off in a minute with our minutes, I think it'll be great to see what 2008 brought. We'll also have other topics to be looking at in terms of communication and other things. Before we do the minutes, I'd like to extend greetings of the season to all citizens and have a safe and healthy new year, since we will not be meeting again until 2009. And if we're ready to move the minutes, Nathan, you had a comment?
I just wanted to say real quick that I apologize to everybody that I won't be able to attend the holiday party because I have a GAC board meeting at that time, but I will be at the department legislator.
Great. Frank?
Thanks, Mike. On a little bit of a sad note, if you happen to miss it over the last week, we lost a former town supervisor from the town of Lansing, Mr. Howell, who was pretty instrumental in redrafting quite a bit of the work that bifurcated the town of Lansing into agriculture and commercial. And why that's also significant is his wife, Helen, sat on this board for a number of years and chaired the health committee. Just thought you'd like to know, in case you missed it. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. I do from time to time send condolence notes on behalf of the legislature, and if people know of those associations, you can let me know. I did send one to the...
Thank you.
Who would like to move the minutes of the previous meeting, December 2nd? Frank moves them. Martha seconds. Any discussion? Ready to vote. All in favor of the minutes?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Who'd like to move to adjourn our last meeting of 2008?
Did we need the executive session?
No, only if someone asks for it. If you have private questions for Jonathan regarding the report, regarding legal matters, you can call him separately. Who'd like to move to adjourn? Will moves. Jim Dennis seconds. All in favor.
Aye.
You're adjourned for 2008. Thank you very much.
Aye.